The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. For the next hour, lots of great information. Information that can improve the quality of your life. For some people, it may actually save their lives. And forewarned is forearmed. So good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet. And one of the, you know, the constant theme of the program is really how to keep people healthy. And I was thinking about how healthcare is practiced. And we've said how, you know, emergency medicine does a great job, you know, when there's an emergency. And then I'm thinking basically all of healthcare, the way it's practiced in this country, is emergency medicine. They let you get sick before they jump in to intervene. Of course, there are interventions we might disagree with because mostly it's drugs. But the real problem is they don't do anything to keep you healthy, pretty much. In fact, that job is, you're on your own for that job because the doctors aren't interested in keeping you healthy. You know, come to them when you're sick and then they'll be able to implement their training. But when it comes, and it's a shame it has to be that way. The doctors should be the ones, like you mentioned yesterday, physician from the Greek word, it means teacher. And somebody has to teach the doctors, though. They've been taught how to prescribe drugs. Now someone has to teach them how to not need drugs.
Okay. In addition to this, I think the people accessing medical care have to become more militant. I speak to a lot of individuals who tell me that their doctors, and I will pick on a favorite target of mine, many of these people's doctors insist on a cholesterol-lowering drug. The patient takes the drug, goes back to the doctor. The doctor says, well, see, your numbers are coming into line. This is working. And the patient says, but doctor, I feel terrible. My joints hurt. I have a two-story home. I can barely get up the stairs. Well, your numbers are good. We are successful with this drug. Doc, I can't take it. No, you must take it. And, well, can I try another one? They try another one, another, and another. And the results all seem to be the same, including the so-called natural statin, red yeast rice. And, yes, you're getting the numbers on blood test papers that you're looking for, but the patient feels horrible, and the doctors continue to insist. So my reply to that is militancy. Insist with your physician. If something is making you feel sick, there has to be another approach, and this is where functional medicine comes in. This is where nutrition and dietary lifestyle change come in. So you said that the responsibility is on the shoulders of the patient. Yes, indeed. For good health, you're not necessarily going to achieve that with a pharmaceutical.
Well, once you realize, number one, that it is, if it's going to happen, it's because the healthcare consumer is going to do it. The physician doesn't know how to do it. And if you keep going to a physician because he knows how to prescribe drugs and that's not the approach you want, then you have to find another physician. For example, you know, we see a lot of patients here. We don't tell the patients, drop your other physician that only knows how to prescribe drugs. But if you come see us, we'll show you what you need to do to get off the drugs by doing the appropriate testing, helping you understand what's going wrong with your body, because it's never been a drug deficiency. Correct the underlying issues. The need for the drugs go away if you pay attention to and do the things that are necessary. If you don't want to do the things that are necessary, you can keep taking drugs. Or at least, at the very least, maybe we can lower the dosage of the drugs, because the drugs really don't take the place of a healthy lifestyle. Now, what have been the biggest changes over the last 100 years or so that's responsible for the maintenance of such a sick population? Now, if you go back 100 years ago, the real issues stem from infections.
Hygiene, right. Yes, environmental,
so poor sanitation,
care, yes.
Maybe poor nutrition to some extent.
To some extent.
But it didn't stem from, well, poor nutrition, people didn't have access, perhaps, to the healthiest foods. But, they, you know, the interesting thing is they didn't have a choice of all the unhealthy foods that we have today, which is amazing.
They had fresh markets,
yeah.
Where they would have access to fresh vegetables, nuts and seeds, fruits, and again, poultry that was not exposed to antibiotics and hormones, very, very much less exposure to confined animal feeding operation livestock. You would have very, very much smaller servings of different red meats.
Now, I've mentioned this before. I like DirecTV for one particular reason, because there are a lot of other carriers you could have. But what DirecTV has, I don't think the other ones have. When you click on information about what you're watching, it'll give you information about the cast of the movie, for example. So when I'm watching old movies that date back, say, to the 1940s, for example, and you look at these actors that many of us are familiar with, and you see when they were born and when they died, you see people living into the 80s on a regular basis.
Right.
It's not like, so it's, we're not living longer today. We've been fooled into thinking we're living longer. We're not. Clearly, people dying young. A lot of famous actors died young, but if you look at their lifestyle, you can understand why that happened. They were smokers. They burned the candle from both ends. You know, they lived a
very polite way of saying that.
Yeah.
Yes,
so,
conveyed the picture.
But clearly, a lot of these actors and directors lived into their 80s routinely. These are ones born in the late 1800s and making movies. Well, so how come they were able to do it back then and we have such a tough time doing it today? You know, even though they say we're living longer today, part of those numbers stem from the fact that people are not as many people are dying in infancy, because that brought the numbers down drastically. Because when you look at average life expectancy, that's the average of all births and deaths. So if you have a lower income, infant mortality, your life expectancy just went up. So what do we do to improve our health? So what's changed today that wasn't happening 100 years ago, for example? And that's the food supply, clearly. It's not that we have more vaccinations going on now. Interesting thing, those people born in the 1800s, they didn't have vaccinations. How did they make it to 80?
And my thing is, let's look at the countries around the world who don't vaccinate those mandated vaccines in infancy. There are plenty of countries around the world that don't do that. And we don't necessarily see them at the bottom of an international health evaluation. And as a matter of fact, the United States, for all of the expense, all of the so-called high-tech, most advanced approaches to health and well-being and longevity, I think we're down around 38th internationally, mm-hmm. speaking. It's not a very good 38th point to say that we've got it right. I think we've got it wrong.
And then a recent report came out. The headline is Monsanto's secret studies show glyphosate caused cancer four decades ago. In other words, they did, just like the tobacco industry knew that smoking tobacco increased your risk of lung cancer, Monsanto knows that glyphosate increases the risk of cancer, and yet they were able to convince the regulatory agencies.
Okay, now, who are the men who made that decision? Sexist comment that it was. Who are those individuals at Monsanto who made the decision to go forward? That, yes, they had a lock on this chemical, glyphosate, and they could make money with it? That's the only criteria to make a decision?
No. Here's what happens. Rather than present the actual data occurred, which was procured in the studies that were done on glyphosate, many of which exposed Roundup as dangerous and highly poisonous, Monsanto introduced outlying controls to neutralize the findings and make it appear as though Roundup is perfectly safe. And this is not just done by Monsanto. This is done by drug companies all the time when they try to get a drug passed. Their position is, we spent a lot of money bringing this drug to market. Let's get it out there for a couple of years. We'll recoup our investment. And if they pull the drug, they pull the drug. Big deal. If they fine us, we already made our millions or billions back on the drug. So that's what's happened here. Roundup is being banned in Europe for the most part.
Yes.
In Russia.
Yes.
Not in this country, though. And you never hear politicians talk about it.
Well, I think we are kind of overwhelmed with non-news bits of information that truly aren't significantly beneficial for educating the population. I think it's more a fear-based thing. It was interesting because there's been another attack in Paris. It was just an individual. But the way that it is being reported is certainly very, very fearsome. And I think the parallel between the reporting with regard to terrorism and the reporting with regard to health and medical approaches have that similarity, fear-mongering. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin for the next 45 minutes. Lots of information that you can use to improve your life. We'll be right back. Have you ever heard of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests saved the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332. Or amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via phone, Skype, or email, with the convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at janetcimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m., right here on this station.
Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. We are talking about how to stay healthy. Dr. Slavin, how do we do that?
Because you're not going to get this from your doctors, unfortunately. And part of the reason is they don't know how to stay healthy because it's not their area of interest. And they don't have the time. Very hard to have a discussion in the 5 or 10 minutes they allot to seeing a patient.
The other part of it is very often they are the victims of their education brainwashing. And I'm thinking back to Cancer Summit that was on the internet a while ago, and it profiled two very, very well-known and well-paid physicians who were talking about how healthy it is to smoke. This is in the 50s. So there's a lot of financial manipulation about what the physicians are offering to their patients.
So we were talking about Monsanto and how they get the FDA to approve glyphosate. So when a particular study shows evidence of tumors in animals exposed to Roundup, Monsanto simply introduces data from another unrelated study showing no tumors. And all of a sudden, no more evidence of tumors associated with Roundup. And I just want you to, this is not an isolated instance. Think about vaccines and how they tell you, you know, vaccines are perfectly safe. They do the same thing there. They cherry pick the data and underestimate the findings, for example. It's funny how they can use the statistics either way. When we were talking about the benefits of chemotherapy and talking about the same study, you can say there's a 50% improvement or a 2% improvement. It's looking at the same numbers. Do the same thing with vaccines, too. Using the dishonest magic of comparing the findings to data from unrelated historical controls, to use the words of these whistleblowers, Monsanto has been able to explain away as a mystery the cancer-causing effects of glyphosate and deem them not to be related to administration of glyphosate. There's, you know, it's just amazing what they can get away with, but they get away with it because people are being paid off. I mean, how do they pay? Illegal payoffs, by the way. When you donate money to political campaigns, that's perfectly legal. But I think there's something wrong with that. When you expect, obviously, you expect something in return, but apparently you're allowed to do that. It's like, for example, you have a certain foundation, and people contribute to that foundation expecting their political influence to be rewarded with you know, those payoffs. So it shouldn't be allowed because people are being hurt by that. And we as consumers, if you're not informed, you don't really appreciate that. I don't know. How do you get informed as a consumer? How do you figure this stuff out? Because clearly this stuff is hidden. They don't want this information out.
You can seek out alternative media, and I have to say you have to be really, really careful about how much credence you put into what you see here and what's reported on that alternative media, because many times it will misguide you. You have to
start. What's alternative media?
Well, it's interesting. It requires a little bit of a background discussion. There was an FAU professor, pardon me, Florida Atlantic University, Boca Raton, a tenured professor. He'd been employed by the university since 2002, and he was recently fired. He wasn't necessarily fired for what the university had judged that he had been done wrong, but rather kind of an administrative issue that he didn't comply with, and that was the reason given for his firing. This individual was pursuing a viewpoint that the mass shootings here in the United States were government in origin, and they were meant to begin to create a situation of limiting people's access to guns. So I kind of followed up the story a little bit because I was interested. And it turns out that this gentleman had a blog and a radio show. And then the radio show was a very, very well-established radio show with a variety of different presenters on the station. One of the presenters was a woman who provided information about the dangers associated with aspartame and artificial sweeteners. But here he is talking about government conspiracies and that no children died at the shooting in Connecticut and that it was all false reporting by mainstream media. So here's this radio station that's seemed to be full of people with conspiracy perspectives, but then there's the woman with the aspartame. So you have to pick and choose the information that you're taking in and evaluate it for yourself.
Perhaps some people think the same thing of this program.
I would imagine that Monsanto would never do that. The CDC would never do what they're saying. The FDA would never allow something unsafe into the food supply, the marketplace. And it does sound kind of unbelievable. But the truth is, when you start to follow it and you evaluate it over a long period of time, when I first became involved in the nutrition industry, I said, it's just that the doctors don't know. They don't mean any harm. And I can kind of shorten that statement to say, they don't mean any harm. For the most part, I agree with that. But I will only give them about a 5-year window because after a certain amount of time, you evaluate what you as a physician have been presenting to your patients and you see over and over and over again, no progress or such a host of side effects that you add more medications. A sensible human being doesn't continue down that path. And when that person does continue down the path, you understand that they have self-involved interests at stake.
I have to tell you that...
Are you sure you have to tell me?
Well, I have to tell you, coming out of, you know, training in medicine, you really, you know, as a physician, you don't have a clue about the things we talk about on this program. I remember going back maybe 30 years ago, going down to some kind of health fair, and I think it was in Miami, and seeing Bernard Jensen.
Yeah.
Talking about, I mean, the importance of all the vegetables, the more colorful variety that you have of vegetables, the better off you are. You know, nobody ever thought of that. I mean, even growing up.
Okay, but what? WOR in New York
City?
Yeah,
I mean, Carl Fredericks used to have that on all the time. My mother liked to listen to that.
No sugar, no salt. No sugar, no salt. Those were the phrases.
But, you know, even back then, you would probably just go to your local supermarket and, we're talking back in the, 50s. Frozen foods just came out, and so that was the greatest and the best thing.
Margarine?
Yeah, exactly. It was promoted as being very good. You know, the history behind margarine, by the way, was it was developed during World War II when you couldn't get butter. It was a butter substitute.
Right.
But if you knew how they made it, you would never want to use something like that. In fact, margarine, because of all the trans fats in there, was probably a major reason for the spike in heart disease.
And so promoted with a healthy heart on the package. What misguided mind came up with that?
Well, it's not misguided when you're looking for profits.
Right.
You know, so when you say low in cholesterol,
Very true, because it was a vegetable source.
It's a butter substitute. Hey, that's a winner for everybody, except the health of the patient or the consumer. So in looking what needs to be done to stay healthy, it really comes right back down to another paying attention, number one, just thinking for yourself and not, you know, listening to what people say and then evaluating it yourself and see if it makes sense. Now, I know depending upon your experiences in life, you know, sometimes it's difficult to evaluate what a physician says or what we talk about on the radio. But it's a lot easier these days because of the internet to just, you know, research it, to get a little familiar. There are lots of books out on topics now that were never available before, like books talking about the history of vaccines. And you could really see how they came about and, you know, where the proof that they actually are beneficial. You know, they cherry pick the data that they want you to have. I'll give you an example with cholesterol. All the studies with cholesterol show that half the people with heart disease had high cholesterol and half the people with heart disease didn't have high cholesterol, yet they eliminated that part of the study and said, see, if you have high cholesterol, you're going to have heart disease. And that's how they promote the sale of statins and cholesterol-lowering drugs. But we know that people can have normal cholesterol and have heart disease. There's some other issue, some other factors involved, and it's not cholesterol. And lowering, if lowering your cholesterol with statins would have made a difference, we would have seen a dramatic drop off in the incidence of heart disease. Shouldn't we have?
Okay. How important is it, in your opinion, Dr. Slavin, to evaluate a patient for atherosclerosis, hardening of the arteries?
It's part of the evaluation.
Okay. So,
especially in its asymptomatic period. In other words, you have to start developing at least a 70% blockage in a coronary artery before it becomes symptomatic, and that's when the doctors jump in. What about up until 69% when it was asymptomatic? How come nobody's doing anything except giving you statin drugs?
Okay, so here's atherosclerosis, and my simplification about what it is. Calcium being deposited over LDL cholesterol that's there to reduce inflammation. Okay, so number one comes to mind, you need to reduce inflammation. Number two comes to mind, you have to be really, really careful about how much calcium you're taking in. In addition to recommending statin drugs, what's one of the things that is time after time after time given to the patients? Calcium. Oh, don't forget, take your calcium. You don't want to fall and break a hip. Well, the calcification of your blood vessels, the calcification of the soft tissue around your joints can very much be a contributing factor to falling. It isn't going to keep your long bones very, very strong and well calcified. That's a much more complicated picture of an array of minerals, not just calcium, but the doctors don't tell you calcium. They don't tell you, for the most part, vitamin D. That's has certainly begun to change, but they're suggesting you're going to save your heart and circulatory system with a statin drug, but they are very, very much supporting something that is a contributing factor to heart and circulatory disease.
And then brings me back to Linus Pauling's theory that heart disease is really a vitamin C deficiency, because that sets up the environment in your body to develop plaque in your arteries. We'll talk a little bit about that after this break.
And when we come back here on Natural Doc Radio, more information to support your good health about making choices that are educated choices for you as an individual. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm here to tell you about Dr. Herb Slavin, the medical director of the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill. The Institute brings the latest natural approaches to health, supported by research. We offer a full range of traditional and holistic treatments. The primary goal of the Institute of Advanced Medicine is to give you, the patient, the information you need to stay healthy and live long. So before you feel sick, before you develop symptoms, come see the team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. You can call today, 954-748-4991, to learn all about the services offered at the Institute, services from OmniMed to chiropractic, from natural skin solutions to nutrition testing and support. 954-748-4991. You can visit drslavin.com to learn more. And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio, and we're talking about picking and choosing what you put into your mouth with regard to pharmaceuticals. And maybe those better choices might have to do with nutrient support rather than chemicals that may or may not achieve what you're looking for. Dr. Slavin?
Well, we're trying to understand, how to stay healthy. Because clearly people 100 years ago was able to stay healthy and live to into their 80s with no problem without the benefit of all the pharmaceuticals available today. You know, the pharmaceutical industry really began to take off in the early 1900s when Rockefeller and Carnegie purchased pharmaceutical companies. And they had to figure out, how are they going to sell these drugs? Because probably back then it was a more honest approach to health. You know, doctors were figuring out, how do we get this person healthy? They would say, well, get fresh air, improve your diet.
Water, quality water, which was an issue at a certain point.
And they didn't have, of course, the mindset that just take a drug to treat your symptom. Because that doesn't make any sense. Why would you want to treat a symptom? That's putting a Band-Aid on something. Normally people would say, let's figure out what's causing you to be sick and remove the cause. I mean, that's the natural way of thinking. But just goes to show you how effective brainwashing could be to make people accept the concept of treating symptoms is all you have to do and disregard the underlying cause. So how did they do that? They bought off the drug, the medical schools of the day, gave them large grants. All you have to do to get our money is change your teaching curriculum and start telling doctors that you're going to approach these illnesses, for like high blood pressure, for example, with a drug to lower the pressure instead of an improvement in lifestyle. Before they might have said, lose weight, exercise, get plenty of sleep. You know, the natural approaches that reverse the underlying cause of the problem, but instead forget all that stuff, just take a drug. And that's what happened across the board. And now we have a culture of taking drugs, and we're not living any longer because of it. In fact, I've told this story before when I was on a trip to it was in Chichen Itza, I remember, in Mexico, and the local Mexican guide was taking us on a tour of the area, and he was saying, in our country, we live just as long as you do in the States, but we don't take all the drugs. We just eat healthier. And yet it's so hard to get that message across. I think if you would ask someone, what's a healthy diet? They would probably not be able to answer that or pass that exam. So here's what a healthy diet is. A healthy diet would be avoiding all processed foods. Number one, go to the natural food. Why would we want food that isn't in its natural state?
Okay, I said that to one of the clients I worked with yesterday, and her question is, well, what's a processed food? Yogurt's processed. And I said, well, yogurt is fermented, and so if you are choosing organic, unflavored yogurt, I would consider that kind of an intermediary food. It isn't in its original state, but has been naturally changed with the addition of specific bacteria.
Okay. And one could argue, too, that avoid yogurt.
As the discussion progressed, it became obvious that this individual really should not have wheat, gluten, dairy. And so yogurt was ultimately in the discussion eliminated.
But I think that probably applies to the majority of people, that a lot of the complaints that people have, because I see the results of changing the diet on a regular basis, when you get them off the wheat and the dairy, many of their complaints just disappear. And we'll get into why that happens in a minute, but let's do the things to avoid right off the bat. You have to avoid antibiotics unless your life depends on it, because they're not helping you. You know, everybody thinks, so I had this cold, I took an antibiotic, then I got better right away. You know, there was a study we talked about. It was about vaccines and how the people that were never vaccinated were much healthier later in life than the people that were vaccinated. And same thing might be true of antibiotics, because you're strengthening your immune system. And, of course, you have to ask yourself the question, too. You know, why did I get sick? It wasn't antibiotic deficiency. But like I said, there are times when you absolutely must take an antibiotic. There, depending if you're someone who has a weakened immune system, maybe other comorbidities, you may need the help of an antibiotic. Clearly, its introduction was revolutionary in saving lives, but it's being overutilized now. That's the whole point. Now, think about it. The real introduction
it's
of...
It's been abused.
Think of it this term. Antibiotics really introduced during World War II for the most part, so in the 1940s. Prior to that, I mean, they had sulfur before that. Sulfur is bactericidal. Penicillin is bactericidal. Important distinction. But really, they didn't have antibiotics. And it did save lives in many cases. But the human race survived. Another thing to think about very carefully is avoid conventionally raised meats. You know, it's just you would think it's a no-brainer, but we don't know the difference. You know, you'll go into the store, and it's packaged, and it looks nice. In fact, sometimes they add coloring to the beef to make it look even nicer.
Well, the wrapping that's used helps to maintain a very red color to the
beef. When we say avoid conventionally raised beef, we're saying look for grass-fed beef, hormone-free, those kind of those sources. Avoid chlorinated and fluoridated water. Now, that doesn't mean just drinking it, but bathing in it as well.
Oh, it's so critically important that bathing in the chlorinated water. You're inhaling the fumes from the chlorinated water. You're changing the chemistry of your skin with the chlorine in the water. Very, very important little details.
So let's put a different definition on processed foods. And maybe this will make it a little easier to know what to avoid. So processed foods typically have excessive sugar along with other dead nutrients. And the reason you want to avoid these types of foods is they feed pathogenic bacteria, the bacteria that makes you sick that's already in your body. Now, there's a balance of bacteria in every one of us, but you want a good balance. And if you feed the, if you eat the wrong foods, you feed, you promote the growth of the unhealthy bacteria that in turn makes you sick. Here are some of the other ways to identify processed foods. If you read the label, you may see polysorbate 80, lecithin, carrageenan, polyglycols, and xanthan gum, because they all have an adverse effect on your microbiome.
Such important information, and a very large, neglected area of health support. More and more people are understanding it. They are getting greater information about the importance of supporting your microbiome.
So then lastly, you want to go with 100% organic. And the reason for that is that's how you avoid genetically modified foods, because those are the foods that are heavily contaminated with pesticides like glyphosate. And here's one that nobody would even think about avoiding. Well, we do, but I think a lot of people really don't think beyond just the surface of artificial sweeteners. You know, so, well, why not have something sweet that has zero calories? And here's what's, here's a, you know, the latest thinking and the research is showing that the artificial sweeteners have been found to alter your gut bacteria in adverse ways.
Isn't that amazing information? And so you think about how many people are drinking diet sodas, consuming, I love those yogurt stores that say no fat, no sugar. Okay. So what's in it? Artificial color, artificial sweetener, different things to make a mouth feel. And, the truth is through the use of those things, you negatively affect your immune function, your digestion, and your brain chemistry. And you, here's things that are very, very widely used in our population, along with wide use of antidepressants and sleep drugs.
Now, we emphasize over and over again, use organic food as much as possible, because to be considered organic, there has to meet a few criteria. One is the soil it's been grown in, but the other major one is they're not using any pesticides. They're not spraying any harmful chemicals on the food. And in turn, those harmful chemicals disrupt your own beneficial bacteria in your digestive tract. And we're learning just how important that is for good health.
That music means it's time for us to take a break right here on Natural Doc Radio. Stay tuned. At AMT Centers, testing is designed to give you important information before symptoms of disease appear. You get the information needed to evaluate potential disease development. With cutting-edge labs such as Singulex, Innovative, Genova, Doctors Data, and many more, you'll receive definitive evaluations of health issues before problems arise. Learn more at amtcenters.com or call 754-216-2332. 754-216-2332.
Janet Cimarelli is a licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through her remote counseling sessions, she works with many clients to help them manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She can help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. She offers sessions through telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she provides you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
And welcome. Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. We're talking about microbiome. What's your microbiome? It is all of that beneficial bacteria that in proper ratio with negative bacteria creates a health picture that is balanced. And that's what we're all about in our bodies, that balance, calcium and magnesium balance, zinc, copper balance, potassium, magnesium balance, sodium, potassium, all of those ratios. So the beneficial bacteria and the negative bacteria. And I just want to let everybody know that at Tooney's, they can find Janabiotic, my profile of beneficial bacteria. And there's even a little discussion card that shows all of the ingredients and what each one of these individual beneficial bacteria are able to achieve. The most basic thing that you are going to achieve with the beneficial bacteria that you are taking in supplementally would be a better ability to utilize B-complex vitamins. Those B-complex vitamins, so incredibly important for your energy, your mood, the ability to digest and utilize carbohydrates. Those are just the basics with regard to supporting your microbiome. What you want to do has such far-reaching effects with regard to your digestion, not just digestive dysfunction in your lower gut, but all through your digestive system, your brain chemistry, your immune function. Dr. Slavin?
And I want to remind our listeners, our sponsor is Advanced Medical Testing Centers, and they have an event coming up this Saturday. We've talked about that before, from 8 a.m. to around 11 or so. It goes on until they finish, and the event is all about introducing as many people to their facility where they draw blood. They draw blood not just for one particular lab. They will draw blood for all the labs, all depending upon what tests you want done, because if you just go to a particular lab's drawing facility, you're so limited on what they do. Plus, they can offer you the best prices around for any of the tests that they do there. The event is special because not only do you get a chance to experience their facility, but they're going to give the people that call up and make the appointment a free complete blood count, a free serum chemistry, and a free urinalysis. It's a good way to, get some information and experience it with absolutely no risk and no cost. So if you'd like to come, their phone number is 754-216-2332. Also, Advanced Medical Testing Center has a website, amtcenters.com. Important information about the different tests available there. We have a website for the radio show, naturaldocradio.com. You can go and hear all the programs archived on that website. And, of course, I have a website, drslavin.com, drslavin.com. And Jana has a website.
Janazon.com, Janazon.
And the reason we're talking about the foods and why they're so important, because it seems if you don't eat a natural diet and eat organic, everything you eat is pretty much upsetting your microbiome. And, you know, we think of the microbiome as being only in your digestive tract. But there's new studies out that are showing that there's a microbiome in the lungs that is particularly important in your immune system, because, you know, probably more than half the infections we deal with on a daily basis, or we're exposed to, coming through the respiratory tract. You want to keep your respiratory tract healthy. So when you take an antibiotic or you eat these unhealthy foods, you know, those foods and those antibiotics that you might take, you know, go through your digestive tract, but then they enter your system and they affect your whole body. So this information coming out of just how important the microbiome in your lungs in regulating your immune function, just another reason to really think carefully about what you put in your body, because it has a lot of negative effects. And that's why we stress what the right categories of foods are, because most people think any food that you can buy in a supermarket must be okay.
And how far from correct that viewpoint is. This is information out of the Mount Sinai School of Medicine, and there was a study in gastroenterology, and that's where we think, okay, when we're talking about beneficial bacteria and our immune systems, we're talking about our guts. But the more research comes out, we understand that that gut bacteria plays a role with regard to brain chemistry. What is being discussed now is that beneficial bacteria that is given into your body on a regular basis plays a role with regard to immune response within the lungs. A very, very different perspective than what has persisted in medicine for years and years and years. So if you want a very, very healthy respiratory tract, the use of beneficial bacteria is absolutely required. And, you know, I'm talking about supplemental beneficial bacteria. And so one of the other ways, shopping in your supermarket, and I'm going to amend that to say shopping in your health food store, refrigerated fermented foods, and even foods that you have learned to ferment by yourself. And there's all kinds of instructions on the internet to properly fermenting foods. But those fermented foods provide, again, a dramatically diverse array of beneficial bacteria that are so critically important for how all different systems of your body work and how well you're able to utilize nutrients that you're taking in with your quality food.
Now, the...
Were you asleep, Dr. Slavin?
No, I was reading a report here about the microbiome, and it works both ways. The microbiome influences our immune system, but our immune system influences our microbiome in our body, and the whole idea is just to keep it as healthy as possible. And by the way, you know, there are more bacteria in our bodies than we have human cells.
Than cells.
You know,
and
that's
I think that has to be an overwhelming bit of information for people to take in.
So, you know, the movie Invasion of the Body Snatchers or something comes to mind. You know, I mean... Are our bodies truly our own, or are we under the control of bacteria? But you want the bacteria and the immune system to work in such a way that each is functioning at their optimum level, and we influence it by the food we take in or the antibiotics we take in, which should be avoided. It's like Janice said, it's abused, it's overused. I think when you think about that everything you put in your body is going to have either a good effect or a bad effect. I don't think there's any neutral effects there. So you really want to think about eating the foods that are going to have a good effect and going with organic foods. And we talk about processed foods. Processed foods isn't just about what's in the food, but it's in its container too. Is it in a can? That's no good. Is it, you know, packaged? That needs to be considered as well. Unfortunately, some things you eat, you have to get in a package, unfortunately, but there are some packaging that's better than others.
You do certainly want to avoid a lot of the plastic containers, particularly if you're buying frozen products that you think the most convenient way to prepare them for consumption is microwaving. Microwaving changes the chemistry of your food. So, number one, avoid any kind of plastic container that the food is coming in. There's a lot of companies now that are getting very, very environmentally friendly, and they're using these very dense cardboard containers.
It's like Back to the Future, right?
Right. It's lovely. And so then, instead of heating the product up in the microwave, my suggestion is pop that frozen meal right out into, a fry pan, a shallow pan, and, a little bit of water, very low heat, cover it. And essentially what you're doing is steaming it to warm it up. Much, much healthier choice for preparing the food than in doing a microwave.
Or you can put it in the oven.
You can put it.
In a glass container, though.
Right. You pop it out of the
Pyrex container.
Right. I have a convection oven that heats things very, very quickly. So I avoid the use of a microwave. A lot of people tell me, okay, well, I just use it to heat water for my tea, or I just use it to reheat my coffee. And I said, oh, no, get a kettle.
Didn't they do a study where they took the water that was heated in a microwave, and then after it cooled down, they use it to water the plants, and there was a noticeable difference between how the plants grew with regular water versus microwave water. Was that correct, Janet? Was there something like that?
Absolutely. Imotu, the many miracles in water, showing the difference in a water molecule that has been microwaved versus one that has been exposed to beneficial situation. That music means that we are out of time, and you've been tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 o'clock. I'll be broadcasting from Greenlands and Delray Beach, but we'll be here together. Bye-bye.
Been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.